Good?
Bad.
WTF. Well, I'm
thinking.
Welcome to episode 66 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF Are They Thinking. Peter's in the building, and it's a Jubilee weekend here in the UK. So we have been blessed with 4 days off. Well, unless you work in retail or other sectors of the world, but I have 4 days off. What about you?
I have 4 days off too.
There you go. So anyone who doesn't and they're listening to this on their work break or something, we are sorry.
Of course, I've been inflicted with another cold. So my four days off is not going too well so far.
Yeah, no, to be fair, same here. I'm coming to the end of mine, but I was a bit blocked up yesterday. I was out, but every time I went to the toilet in like a pub or wherever I was, I had to blow my nose as well. So they probably thought I was doing cocaine in the toilets, because every time I'd go in there, it'd just be a bit every time. But they're racking up big lines. I had a cold. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had to give up the cocaine. You can't have a cold and do coke. Yeah. That's too many things are coming out of your nose. You know, cocaine's expensive. You don't want to waste good cocaine.
Just for the record, I don't do cocaine. Just in case that gets misconstrued in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But I do have a cold. Did you watch the Flypast yesterday?
No.
You didn't watch it. You didn't tune into any of the Jubilee stuff at all.
I'm not really much of a royalist.
I'm not either.
Good for her, but you know, I'm not like a massive royalist.
I'm not either, but being in London, it's on my doorstep. There's a lot happening, and it's hard to ignore when you're in London. Maybe it's easier away from. I don't know how many street parties are going on.
I was in the cinema yesterday, so it's easy not to see things fly over.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea. If you want to avoid things, go into the cinema where time doesn't exist. It's probably the best place to be. But here, I could see it from outside my window. It was flying above me. And to be fair, I'm not a big royalist, but I do like planes. Planes are fascinating to me. And seeing them like flying as like a 70, they were made the shape of a 7 and an 0 in the sky with planes. That's fucking impressive. And it's hard to ignore that. Whether it's for the Queen, you know, whether it's our taxpayers' money we're paying for that, you can't help but look up and go, oh, that's kind of cool. There goes £1 billion down the drain, but it looks cool, I guess.
It's got to look good, though, because if they're spending your money and it looks crap, you're like, oh, well, it could look a little bit better. You know, if you're going to use my money, use it wisely. So at least they're wisely using your money.
Hey, it is cool. It was cool. I won't lie. The plane stuff was cool, but that's where it ends. I did watch the beacon being lit as well. They lit up 3,000 beacons. I don't know what that means, really. It was meant to be in unison, but you know they weren't all at the same time. So it was 10 minutes late or something. You know, it always happens.
Live TV for you.
Yeah, and then that was it for the day. So that feels like that's the fun bit done. I don't know what's next. The concert. Are you probably not going to watch that either, are you?
No. Is it today? Today is officially the
tomorrow.
Jubilee, isn't it?
I thought, tomorrow. Is it? Is today officially the Jubilee? I think it's all 4 days, isn't it?
I thought Friday was traditionally the actual, like on your look on your calendar, Friday is Jubilee. That is the Platinum Jubilee day.
I didn't know that. It feels quieter today. I think all the business is happening again over the weekend. But
4 days is a long time to celebrate. I mean,
yeah, it is unprecedented though. Like this is the longest anyone's ever been in that, you know, in the monarchy like that. And to be fair, it's probably never happened again because of how young she got in there. She's in her 20s, wasn't she? When she was queen. So it probably never happened again. It was interesting. Let's say that. It was... As I say, I'm not a big royalist either, but it's kind of cool when we get 4 days off. So I can get down with that.
I like 4 days off too.
And celebrate
that's the one thing they did right. Yeah, doing right. And the thing I did was I went to the cinema and I saw Men. I saw Men and it was really interesting.
Yeah, because your messages were confusing when you were like, what did you say to me? You like, I really like Men. And I was like, huh? And you were like, yeah. And I kind of left it at that. I think that's what you said to me. I'll try and find the exact message. You go, I've heard great things about men. Yeah. It's a great opening message to see when it comes to it, because I didn't know you were talking about what you were talking about. And then you said, I will try and watch that when it hits the cinemas. I said, about what? And you went, men. And then that was where it ended. So you saw men.
Well, even yesterday I said to my friend, I said to him, you know, I can't stop thinking about men. And he said, oh, I think we're going to talk about this. And, I said, we could talk about this.
Yeah, and how does that make you feel?
Yeah, how does it make me feel? Well, I don't know. I'm very weird. It's a very weird experience. But yes, men is, you have to see men. I have to, I don't want to tell you what it's about.
Okay.
But I was, the thing you're sucking into is the final act. Everybody talks about the final act. And you go into it, go, right, what is this final act? And when you see it, you have to see it to believe it. It is one of the biggest what the fucks I've seen.
Oh, really?
Ever. One of the big ones. And, you know, put it to Alex Garland to do another mind-twisting kind of movie. But it was very good. I really liked it. I've been, like, thinking about it yesterday and today, just sort of trying to discover what men is.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of this could be taken out of context. He's talking about the movie, in case you've just skipped forward past the Jubilee talk. And,
I'm talking about men here. I'm talking about men right now.
God damn it. Wow, you know what? I was actually looking, because I was thinking over this weekend, I was looking at the cinemas and what was out, and there was nothing really jumping out at me to see, but I didn't... This one wasn't listed in my local one, so maybe that's why I didn't see this in cinemas, because this does sound interesting. But Top Gun is out, came out this weekend, and a lot of people are saying good things about that. And a lot of people are saying you don't need to watch the original to watch this one, which I haven't. I've never watched Top Gun. It's never appealed to me.
It's not like an amazing movie. If you remember the Rich Hall joke about all of Tom Cruise's movies are essentially the same movie. Do you remember that joke?
Yeah, and I kind of agree with that as well. They do kind of merge into one. It's a big look at me with Tom Cruise, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. He is probably one of like the biggest and probably last action, like A-list actors, like movie stars.
Yeah, yeah. Miles Teller's getting a lot of attention, though, based off this film. I've seen a few people fasting over Miles Teller. I never really looked at Miles Teller as the type of bloke that women would fancy, but apparently in this movie...
Women fancy Post Malone. You know, they could fancy whatever they like. And it's up to you, women, who you fancy.
It is.
Because I'm thinking about men. And that's all I'm thinking about right now. The other thing that happened was Cannes. Cannes happened and the winners were released. And we got some interesting winners. So who won the Palme d'Or is Triangle of Sadness, directed by Ruben Östlund. Who, this is his second win after The Square. I really like him. They call him King of Cringe. And King he of cringe. Is. I can't wait to see this movie. It sounds really interesting. And the Grand Prix was A Tide, with Stars at Noon, directed by Claire Denis, and Close, directed by Lucas Don't. The Jury Prize went to Io and La Otta Montage. Mm-hmm. And Best Director went to Park Chan-wook for his new movie, Decision to Leave, which sounds really good. We like a bit of Park Chan-wook.
Yeah.
Best Actor, Song Kang-ho for Broker. And Best Actress is Zaa Amir Ibrahimi for Holy Spider. So there's a few good movies that have come out of Cannes. I believe even Top Gun premiered at Cannes. So
did it?
I think it did. I think it was on their opening night.
Elvis did as well, didn't it? Have you heard anything about Elvis?
Mixed. I've heard it's very flashy. But it is Baz Luhrmann, so.
Would you have put Austin Butler down as an Elvis? I wouldn't have put him down as an Elvis.
I've heard that he's really good in it, though.
I'm not disputing that. I think originally, don't know if I would have picked him, but I don't know. It's not bad. I suppose I can see why they picked him, to be fair. It's a big role, though. Would you say that's his biggest role so far?
Probably. I've never really seen him in much, so yeah.
It must be. He's in the new Dune as well. Well, he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, obviously.
Yeah, that's like a small role, wasn't it?
That was a small role. And he's a bit of a Disney kid, isn't he, really? He's kind of been in the Nickelodeons, the Disneys and all that stuff. So, yeah, that is his biggest role. I'm skeptical about seeing an Elvis movie, though. Do you ever wonder why? I don't know.
There are some people who are too big for anyone to... It's a fine line, is it? Because there are so many Elvis impersonations out there. It's a fine line between impersonation and actually making the character. I suppose that's where you go. Does he suddenly become an Elvis act? Like what you would see on like a Las Vegas, where you see people dress up as Elvis and like look the part and do all like the cliche Elvis things, but that's it. It's just a gimmick.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's hard to play that. If he starts going, oh, there's only two things a king knows, it's Chinese. What's it? No, it's there's only two people that know karate. That's Elvis and the king and the Chinese. I'm trying to figure the line that Jack
White
says.
And one of them's me.
And one of them's me. Watch out. If it starts doing all that stuff, then I'll be like, this is just Jack White and Dewey Cox as Elvis, who so far is my favourite depiction of Elvis.
I know, so like, a lot the to look 70s, up. Kurt Russell played Elvis in a TV movie.
That's not the same as Jack White, to be honest with you. I think.
I don't know.
If I was Austin Butler, I would have watched that performance and been like, this is the bar. All right, this is the bar's been set. Now I need to rise above this bar. So we'll see. But if he's not, it's hard. That's how I'd play it. I'd be in the auditions. I'd be like, I'm the king of rock and roll. And they'd be like, next. Show it. There'd be some million people.
Who even let you in?
I just imagine in the auditions, just queues of people dressed up like the Vegas Elvis is just in the hallway.
I was born to play this role.
That's not the role you want to play. You want to play Tom Hanks' role, being his manager. That's a better role. Less pressure on that role.
I don't know how big that character is.
No, nor do I. Interesting, though. I do want to see that. I'm very skeptical. But enough about Elvis and enough about men. Let's get into the main event. Dogs. This week's movie, you chose this week's movie, so
I did.
Take it away.
Okay, this movie is called Cujo, and it's about a dog who contracts rabies and goes on a killing spree in a small American town.
God bless. And the first question I have is, why would you name your dog Cujo?
It's a nice name. I like the name. It's better than Max. Imagine if it was just called Max. It would just
you could
feel...
make a scary movie with a dog called Max, could you?
Well, it had Cujo to be doesn't sound scary. Cujo sounds mystical. It sounds,
that sounds
mystical.
A bit scary. Is there a meaning behind Cujo?
There is. It does mean something.
It means evil. No, it's. I don't know what it means. It doesn't say. Is it a dog name, though? Because I've never heard of a dog called Cujo until this movie.
And yeah, but there's so many dogs that are called weird names.
Well, I have a list here for you, actually. And this is cool big dog names. Cujo is on the list. Now, I want to get your thoughts on whether any of these dogs would have taken the lead role. Athena. We've started strong. It's not good, is it?
Athena. It sounds like one of those sports movies where like the dog plays in goal for the football team.
Yeah, yeah. Athena, the athlete, Alsatian or something. Bailey, I think Bailey's too soft for an evil dog.
It is. But it's deceptive. Bailey is now like, oh, Bailey could be as evil as you think.
Bear. Yeah.
It's a crap name.
It's a crap name, but I see it's a cool big dog name. But it sounds more like a nickname for the dog. Buck. Buck sounds like it could be a baseball playing dog, you know. Buck. Baseball Buck. Creed. That's a good name for a dog.
What about Apollo?
Cool. Apollo's not on this list, but that's also good. Rocky is on this list. Croc is on this list. I'll just go through them quickly now. Hera, Hercules, Hoss, Luna, Mars, Max, Phoenix, Rhino, Rocky, Starbuck, Stormy, Titan, Zilla, and Zona. Those are the cool dog names.
Zona would be a good one instead of Cujo. Yeah,
they're not bad. But back to Cujo. This is an interesting movie, and I'll be honest, I wasn't into this movie straight away. It took me a while to get into it. This was a slow one, and I was kind of getting a bit like, phew. I felt like it was dragging at the start. I was like, when are we going to get to the good bit? Like, it felt like the whole relationship thing, the marriage falling apart, felt a bit like a filler. Like, they didn't have enough dog content for the movie. And they were like, we've got to train 4 dogs. We've got a bloke in a dog suit. We've got an animatronic head. It's a lot of shit to do here. We've only got like, you know, we're gonna leave this till the end of the movie because it's getting a bit annoying doing all this dog stuff. So we're going to throw in the marriage just as a little filler. Now, Stephen King obviously wrote this and wrote it because it's a book and you have a lot more detail in a book. But I feel like a movie adaptation of it, did we need it? Did you feel like we needed the marriage stuff? It's so not really memorable.
This is where coming into a movie, again, for like a second or third viewing, when I first saw the movie, that's my feeling is like, I want to see more dog deaths than this marriage train wreck. But going into it now, I actually think it works because you've got the drama, you've got the emotion now, you've got the, you know, the characters are. They are. It's really well acted horror movie, and it is a movie that just feels it feels. I like these kind of movies that feel like someone's just walked in on a horror moment, like a scene, like all this horror is happening, and they're unaware of it, and then they're in their own daily lives and their own personal struggle. Now they've got to kill a dog.
You don't see that coming, do you? Really?
Well, yeah, they don't. I mean, we see it coming. We know they're going to interact.
Oh, yeah, we know. I'm saying if you're in their shoes, you wouldn't see it coming.
No, because they're too wrapped up in their infidelity.
Do you think they made the dog too powerful in this movie as well? A particular scene that caught me off guard is when the dog ran headfirst into the car. I was kind of like, this is more than a dog of rabies. This is some super dog.
I'm pretty sure that rabies doesn't turn you into a serial killer. I think it just turns you into an aggressive dog. So the idea that this dog is now I must have vengeance. But the weird thing about this movie is apparently it's a spiritual, the book itself is a spiritual sequel to The Dead Zone. And so they reckon that Cujo could possibly be possessed by someone from The Dead Zone.
After the bat bit him on the nose?
Well, yeah, the bat. Well, this is the thing, you know, it's not turned into like a vampire dog. But that'd it's this cool. weird.
I kind of feel like it might have done that as I was watching it. When the bat bit him, I was like, is it going to be like Spider Man? It's going to turn into a big bat dog. Bat dog. No, 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 no. Bat dog. But no, he was just frothing at the mouth.
Well, yeah, apparently they had to. It was like cake mix, wasn't it? Like egg whites and something.
And the dog kept eating it.
The dog, well, it's a dog. if you put cake mix on my face, I'm probably going to eat it too.
Yeah. And they had to tie the dog's tail to its leg as well because the dog was having too much fun on set. Because it probably would It's got the cake mix.
Dog doesn't know what's happening, does it? Dog does not know there's a movie going on. The dog must be confused. It's like, what is all this going on? Because the dog has no idea. Like, Cujo's not sitting back going to the movie and said, this is what we did? I'm a killer dog? I was just having fun.
He's like, hold on a minute, is that me?
Well, there's five of them, isn't there? There's five different Cujos and a human. Yeah. And I try to find out which one the human was.
I was looking intently at the human as well.
It's so weird because the cuts are so... When they have the dog killing scenes, the cuts are so fast that you kind of can't really tell what's happening because they're so quick that I thought, well, why do you even need a human in a dog suit?
Yeah, you kind of didn't. But the five St. Bernards that were used... they did have their little differences, so I did notice when it wasn't the same dog.
Because one was a girl.
Yeah. And they just had little differences, didn't they? Like, the dogs weren't identical, to be honest. So there were moments where I was looking at it, I was like, that's not the same dog. And it kind of took me out of the moment a little bit. But I understand.
Turned to a St. Bernard, to like an Alsatian.
It changed size a lot.
Little Jack Russell, you're like, what's going on here? Just Cujo.
It did change a lot during this movie, didn't it? Like, it went different sizes. The face was kind of different at times. I was thinking, what the fuck? And then I was thinking, is it part of the plot that there's loads of these little rabid dogs running around? And that's the scary bit.
That could be quite scary.
That would be more scary.
I kind of wish that when he bit people, they got rabies and started to attack, like it was a little zombie outbreak or something. But Cujo just killed. But I suppose the one good thing about Cujo is... process of elimination, he gets rid of the minor characters first. He kills in stages. So the first person he kills is a minor character you see in one scene. Get rid of him, he's dead. The second, he kills his owner. He goes a little bit higher up, but he's like a secondary character.
He's killing in the order. He's killing in the order of the payroll, isn't he? He's like the lowest paid to the highest paid.
That's it.
Let's work our way up.
He knows that the kid and the woman... they're like the main people. You die last. He's got a pecking order. For someone with rabies, he's got everything quite lined up. He seems like he's really... I don't even think he has rabies. I just think he's a killer dog. I just use an excuse.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he could be. He was a messy pup, wasn't he? He was a bit messy. At times I was like, clean that dog's face. That's what I was thinking a lot of time. The dog had its moments. Have you seen the picture though of the bloke in the dog suit for on set?
No,
you need to Google it. There's a funny picture. Gary Morgan is his name. He played the he was a stuntman in the dog suit. There's a funny picture of of Dee Wallace with the dog, and they're dancing, and it's the dog standing upright in the costume, and they're dancing.
Oh,
if you just type
it.
In Cujo Man and see.
Now, that would have been a good film if they just did that.
Made it into a musical. They should have, shouldn't they? They should have made it into a musical. But the Gary Morgan there in his suit. And I still don't remember what scene it was. So they did well there with the editing. Give them some credit there.
It's a good dog suit, though. The face. Everything else doesn't look right. But the face looks really good.
The face, which is the main bit, to be fair. The rest you can get around.
It's obviously it must be the scene where it bites someone's neck or something. From the look of the face, looks like the it's like in killer mode.
what I love about this as well is Stephen King's involvement in this movie. He had a bit of involvement, didn't he? But he didn't take any writer's credit. For this, but he had a bit of involvement on the film, and he did admit that he was so deep into his alcohol addiction that he didn't remember writing this book, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Like, if you're addicted to alcohol, and then the book you write when you're deep in it is about a killer dog.
Well, it's all over the place, isn't it? It's like he was written a marriage going wrong, and then he thought, oh, maybe I should put a dog in this just in case.
Just throw people off.
Spruce it up a little bit. But in the original, he kills off the kid. And
really?
Dee Wallace gets rabies. So his ritual gets really dark, and that's one thing he regrets, that he killed off the kid.
He regrets that.
He regrets that. That's why on this one they didn't go down that road. He thought, no, that was too dark.
Wow.
So that shows you where his headspace was at the time.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been good, would it? It wouldn't have been good. I'm trying to think as well. Out of all of his books that he wrote, Stephen King, what number was this? Do we know? How early on was this? I'm trying to think.
I wouldn't Google it.
You wouldn't Google it?
No. I think it's quite an early one, because it's 1983.
10th. So there we go. 10th.
So it was kind of like... I mean, this year they did like 3 of his movies. They had Christine, The Dead Zone, and Cujo. So this was a busy King year.
Yeah, that was a busy year. That was a busy year. He loved the... he loved the performance of Dee Wallace as well, didn't he? He was... Dee Wallace? Am I saying that right?
Dee Wallace.
Dee Wallace, sorry. In my head, I was thinking it's Dee Williams. Dee Wallace, yeah. He loved the performance of Dee Wallace. And it made me think, you know. And I don't think Stephen King gets enough credit for this. But he does... A lot of his stories centre around a strong female lead, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of his books are quite cliche. They have the same sort of rhythms and beats to them. But I do feel that this is, in terms of characters, this is a well-written story. I like how slow it is. I do like how it sort of takes its time. It's very 80s. It takes its time. It doesn't need to rush anything. And I think that works for its benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie, I mean, there's questions. This movie has questions it never answers. Like, how does no one notice the giant chunk of on Cujo's nose where the bat is bitten? No one sort of like twigs that he's got like, his nose has been bitten. And it's pretty evident.
Well, Donna does. Dee Wallace's character notices it. But doesn't really react, does she? She kind of just looks at it and goes, And that's kind of it. But because it's obviously not her dog, so maybe that's probably why. But, I mean, the owners of the dog, I mean, they're bastards, aren't they, really? They're not looking after this dog very well. They're kind of making it aggressive.
Very free range. Very free range, this dog.
Very free range, and they're a bit aggressive. So I actually really liked the shot, and it's probably my favourite scene in the movie in terms of the way it was shot. Was when Joe Camber was sitting at the table with his friend, whose name I cannot remember. Is it
the first casualty?
Yeah, the first casualty. And you kind of—it's kind of like the dog's perspective looking up, isn't it? It's like a really low angle shot, and it kind of feels a lot more chaotic in that scene. And they're like slamming the table and being noisy, and it's kind of like, it was a very irritating scene to watch, and I felt like I was the dog getting more and more aggressive in the scene myself when I was watching it, because it was a very irritating scene. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I felt like I was there and I was getting really pissed off with these people making noises, kind of like, in the hell, to stop. So I thought that scene was really, really well done, actually. It's the one that stuck out to me the most. And the scene when the dog is attacking Donna in the car and the kid is going crazy, that is also very chaotic, isn't it? They're just screaming and bloody hell, it's just like fucking hell, so loud. I had to turn the volume down. I was thinking people might think I'm attacking someone in my flat because it just sounded so, it went on for so long at times. I was just like, I can't get the volume down on this.
It was really good. That was like some great acting there, because
the kid's
just mumbling, you can't hear what the kid's saying, and she's getting so frustrated, you know, and it's just a great, it feels like if this really happened, that would be how it would go down.
Mm.
I think my favourite scenes are probably any scene that has Roger Breakstone in, who is Vic Trenton's partner in this sort of advertisement thing where he's just so on edge all the time, and he's in his own little world, isn't he? He thinks everything's about the advertisement. He can't even see his friends struggling because of this affair. And we should say that Dee Wallace's character, who is Donna Trenton, she's having an affair with a guy called Steve Kemp. Yep. This is behind Vic's back, and then Vic finds out. And it's an interesting triangle that kind of doesn't really pay off because suddenly there's a dog attack. So, like, we don't really... It all kind of goes, oh, Steve Kemp, he kind of went inside the house and he sort of ripped it all apart and he did this and he did that to her, and then that was it. I thought there should have been like a showdown with Vic and Steve at some point, with Cujo attacking her at the same point. That would be a good...
That's why I didn't get that in the whole story. I didn't understand it, the need for it, really, to include it. I know it's in the book, but I just didn't
understand. Could have fleshed it out a little bit more. I don't know how fleshed it is in the book, but maybe it feels like it's missing something.
Stephen King, I haven't read the book. Anyone who has will correct me, but maybe Stephen King was writing that and then he just got carried away with a dog attack that he just completely forgot about that element of the story.
Well, he was unlike an alcohol addiction. He was addicted at the time. It's pretty... it's quite a coherent story for someone who's got an addiction, so...
Yeah, fair play.
Shows you how good of a writer he is.
Yeah. Very very stereotypical writer with an alcohol addiction. Come on. I think I sat out.
Come on.
They love it, don't they?
Writers. Cliche.
Very cliche. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about this movie. I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I had higher hopes for something. But then it got better towards the end. It was a slow start where I was kind of like, let's get to the dog. So, did you feel like that? You feel like, bloody hell.
The first time, like I said, this time I kind of...
Because you knew it was coming.
I knew what to expect, and then I like it more. I think I do like it more. I don't think it's a great horror movie, but I think it's one of them kind of movies that you turn on, it's on TV, and you could happily watch it for 90 minutes and then go about your normal day.
Yeah, you could. You could. I don't think it's everyone's cup of tea, because not everyone wants to watch dogs attack people, because people love dogs, and it's hard to watch a dog be the villain. But there were certain characters the dog was killing off where I was like... Go on, Cujo.
What about Cujo's death scene? Because, I mean, the first one was pretty... Like, when she kills him, and you're like, oh, is that it? Yeah, it felt like it was just like... Yeah,
it did that
anticlimactic. And then,
that felt typical, like, the dog's coming back, you know? Like, when they kill the villain, you're like, nah, it didn't seem good enough. And then they're going to, you know...
It's this superhero who... I mean, rabies does not make you have two lives. Like, he was clearly stabbed... to death in the first one. He's not like going to suddenly... If you get stabbed to death, I'm pretty sure you're not going to jump through a window and be like, remember you stabbed me? I didn't feel a thing. I'm still here.
Now I'm diving through windows.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that did seem a bit stupid, I'll be honest. But at the end of the day, it was a horror movie, and it couldn't help but be a horror movie where it was like, you know, you think it's dead and it's not. It's the very typical... cliche thing in a horror movie, you know.
Yeah, the final jump scare.
It's always there. But yeah, no, I did feel kind of, even though Cujo was running amok and being an absolute nightmare and looked ugly at times, had all blood on its face, slobber on its face, and it's like, fuck this dog. I still felt sad when it died.
you thought it could be redeemed? It's like, oh, it's only killed two people.
It's rabies. I can't just get. Fix the rabies and you'll be fine. That's the only reason. I
think you put it down, don't you? If a dog has rabies, you put it down. Because it's basic.
They haven't found a way to solve rabies yet.
I think rabies is just a disease that eats away at your brain.
Damn. Damn rabies. Rabies was a thing that when I was growing up, I expected it to be more prominent in my life, and I haven't experienced it.
You expected to get rabies?
No. I just expected rabies to be a problem. You know, like quicksand. You know, when you're growing up and certain things you see when you're younger and you go, oh no, that would be scary. Rabies and quicksand are two things that just...
Imagine really getting rabies and then being in quicksand like at the same time.
Well, that's the thing about having a dog. I thought this dog could get... When we had our first dog, my head was like, this dog could get rabies. Yeah, how quickly could this dog get rabies? Is it possible? So I was thinking. And then I was thinking, if it bites me, does that mean that I have rabies? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you've gone like down the 28 days later road yeah. where it's sort of like, am I going to become a zombie with rabies yeah. and then fall into quicksand?
I thought it could be a potential stumbling block in my life, but no. Rabies, no.
See, mine was being struck by lightning. I thought it happened more often than it would.
I'll be honest, I still think it could potentially happen to me. Because when it, especially like this week, there was a bit of thunder where I was, and it was loud. And you always do the thing, don't you, where you see the lightning and then you count the seconds until you hear the sound of the thunder, and then you know, that tells you how far away it is, doesn't it? So if you see the light, if the lightning comes at the same time, then it's very close. You know, it's there. So I still do that because I'm still in fear of like, well, if it just struck the house, would I die? Would I die?
This is the thing. I just imagine like when I'm driving, it just struck the car and then just explode. Yeah. And then that'd be it. That'd be my last thought is like, what song should I listen to? Bang! Go on.
Done. Done. Yeah, before you know it. Well, that's where the saying comes, isn't it? You know, more likely to be struck by lightning. You know, that kind of sets you at ease, doesn't it? Like, you're probably not going to get struck by lightning. You'll probably be fine.
Or it was makes you even more scary of lightning.
It was a stormy night, so I grabbed the nearest metal sheet and I headed towards the tree for cover. There's a Simpsons reference for you.
We had to get one in.
We haven't done one in ages, to be fair.
We haven't, no.
That was how he got his bat, wasn't it? The bat was... The tree got struck by lightning. And then he made the bat out of the tree. It's my favourite episode. Anyway, where do we rate this movie?
It's in good for me.
Ooh. I'm going to put it in WTF.
What the fuck were they thinking about the dog suit?
Yeah, and we know what he was thinking. No, in the whole story itself. Are there many rabies movies with dogs? I don't think
there are. I imagine there's a lot of rabies movies, which I imagine will turn into, like, zombies. I don't know about rabies dogs. There must be.
I'm going to put it in the what the fuck, because our man Stephen was very much in an alcohol-induced state at the time of writing it. So even he was probably like, what the fuck? I wrote this? Are you sure? I don't remember this. So what the fuck? And it was his 10th one as well. That was his 10th book. That's a milestone.
Double digits.
I'm going to write my 10th book and I'm going to make it a
dog. Not going to remember it. Maybe that was his 12th book, but the other two, he lost and he can't remember what he did with.
I do wonder, like, with there must be so many stories that he has done himself that have just never made it because he obviously couldn't finish it. Or just ideas that he just couldn't get off the ground. I'd love to know some of it. I bet some of them are wacky as hell. I'll put this in WTF, I think. This is a WTF movie. In a good way. There wasn't a top five this week. So what's going on? Why are you being so mysterious?
We got a Stephen King quiz show.
This is why he told me not to look up what number book it was.
Okay, well, here's the theme. Do, 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 do. This is the Stephen King quiz show where we test your knowledge on Stephen King, which I hope that you have because it's the quiz show about Stephen King.
Stephen King. Do, do. Stephen King. Before we start, I do want to say I don't know a lot about Stephen King. Obviously, I know his movies and his books, but if we're going to start asking personal questions about him, I'm not going to do very
well. What's his favourite colour?
If you're like, where was he born? Where did he grow up? Actually, I do know where he grew up because he features it in a lot of his books. I do know that.
I did a lot of quizzes to try and, like, I've picked some semi-hard ones because I did the hardest ones, right? And I was getting, like, full house. I know a lot about Stephen King, and it's not surprising because Stephen King, that was the first ever book I ever read was from a Buick 8. From a Buick 8? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I was massively into Stephen King. That was sort of my bread and butter. Anything Stephen King related, I was game for it. Like TV shows, novels, movies, just personal appearances. I've watched biographies about the man, so I know a lot about him. And it's weird how a lot of that's retained in my memory. A lot of the, you know, useful stuff in my memory is gone, but you ask me a Stephen King question, I can give you an answer. And today I'm going to test your Stephen King knowledge, and I have five questions here. Multiple choice. Multiple choice.
Yeah.
So here's the first question. What is Stephen King's first novel? Is it Carrie?
Multiple choice, yeah.
Cujo or Salem's Lot?
Well, we know it's not Cujo because that's his 10th book. So I ruined the first question.
You did. And I didn't realise I
put Cujo
there.
But we were talking about Cujo. So it is your fault for including your Cujo-related question in this because we were talking about it.
So
obviously, I've done a bit of research.
Cujo-related questions.
it was Carrie, I believe, was his first book.
That is correct. Carrie. So, ding, that's one. You didn't have to phone a friend or do 50-50, which you 50-50 would suck. What state are most of King's novels taking place? Milwaukee, Maine, or North Dakota?
Maine.
Yep.
That's where he was from.
That is true.
Portland, is Maine. True. I do know that. Yeah, I did know that. That might be the only personal thing I know about him. Is where he's from.
Well, we'll find out. Number three. King started writing under which pen name? Ooh. Fred McMullen, Wilson Berg, or Richard Bachman?
I don't know this, so we have to take a wild shot in the dark. Give me the names again.
They are Fred McMullen, Wilson Berg, or Richard Bachman.
Richard Bachman.
Yep.
Oh, that was a guess.
Richard Bachman.
Wow.
Remember the old Bachman novels? I find it weird that a lot of writers have little pseudonyms where sometimes they write under a different pen name.
Yeah, why is that? Not be associated with certain novels so that they can do something different so people aren't expecting them to do a certain thing.
Maybe they just want to sort of hide a little bit of themselves so they're not always in the limelight. But you know it's him anyway, so I don't really understand it.
Hey, who knows? All right, writers work in mysterious ways. All right, maybe he's just having a moment.
Which of his books has sold the most copies? Ooh. It, The Stand, or The Shining?
Ooh, I feel like the obvious choice would be The Shining because it's probably his most successful in terms of being a movie. And most people would want to read the book based on the movie because they love the movie. I don't think it would be The Stand because I think that's actually quite a big book, isn't it?
It's about 1,000 pages.
Yeah, so I can't imagine people going for that one. And It, I'm kind of, part of me is leaning towards It, but it would have to be a recent pickup because obviously that's become more popular when they remade the TV movie into a movie.
I don't know what date they said is the most copies. I don't know how up to date it is.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to have to go for The Shining.
Go for The Shining? Wrong. Ooh. It is It. It is Fuck. It.
You threw me off by saying that. I would have gone for that based on recent popularity. Fuck.
Well, I don't know because I think The Shining, obviously, Dr. Sleep came out, didn't it? So,
true.
Again, that would have boosted ratings. And also, I mean, The Shining's a good one because he hates the movie. So I would imagine more people would have bought the book to see why the book.
He does hate the movie. Does he still hate the movie? To this day, or was it just a thing at the time?
I think he still regrets it. I think he still regrets how it went. But from my understanding, I think he still hates the movie.
That must be painful when the movie's, everyone loves the movie and you feel like it doesn't represent the way you wrote it. I think that would be quite painful. Maybe his bank account would tell it differently, but it would be a bit annoying, wouldn't it? Because he's like, fucking made me so much money and it, nothing like I wanted it to be. So did he not get along with, why is the name escaping me?
Stanley Kubrick.
That's it. Why did he not get along with him?
I mean, if you look at Stanley Kubrick, you hear about him. He sounds like a notoriously hard person to get along with anyway. He's very...
True.
He's set in his ways, and he believes that his way is the best. I mean, like what he did with Shelley Duvall in The Shining, he pretty much broke her down to an emotional state. So I don't know if personally Kubrick is a likable guy.
Probably not. I mean, Shelley Duvall didn't get along, did they? He was purposely horrible to her for the whole movie. But he says it was so that she would stay in character. But maybe he was just saying that.
Yeah, it's
could be a cop out, couldn't it? He could have actually just been a fucking bastard. You know,
directors are a weird breed. We could say that at least. And the last one: how many novels has King published?
Ooh.
Is it 100, 54, or 61?
Oh,
and this is up to date.
100 on the nose would be quite a thing, wouldn't it? I'm surprised those numbers are that low. Part of me's thinking it would be more than 100, but I'm going to go for... Did you say 64 is what you said?
154 and 61.
61. I'm going to go 61.
You're wrong. It's 54.
Fuck. Really?
Yeah.
Why does I feel like he has a lot more than that?
I think you're adding the short stories, maybe. And you're thinking, you know, they're thinking of them more separately.
Novels.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because I've just Googled it and it says 64. Which is what I said, actually.
It says 54.
I said 64. But then obviously you said 60. Your option was 61. And I've Googled it and it's telling me there are 64 novels that have been published. Are you sure you got your facts straight there? Because I'm on a different one.
I think I do, unless they're not counting the Bachman ones.
Maybe they're not.
Because I had it as...
Five as Bachman. Oh, no, including 7 as Richard Bachman and 5 non-fiction books.
I think it's probably taken out the non-fiction...
Oh, no, no, it hasn't. No, no, they are listed differently here. They are listed differently here. Oh, no, okay. No, it has included the non-fiction ones in there. So you're taking out the non-fiction.
My source did take it out and said novels. And non-fiction might not count as a novel.
You should have been more clearer in your question.
I said novels. This,
which doesn't, you could have been like, which doesn't include non-fiction books and his Bachman books. Then I would have rethought my answer.
It said 64.
Yeah. Well, that's what it says on Wikipedia. So, hey, all right. I'll let that one go. You know, I'll let it be. I'll be a good loser. I think I did well regardless anyway. I'll take the small wins. Does that conclude the quiz?
It does. So you got 3 out of 5.
Do we want to touch on Stephen King any more, or are we happy to move on to next week?
I mean, one day we got to do a Stephen King rank, and we got to talk about Stephen King's work. And I think on that day we'll talk more about.
Yeah, yeah. Are you thinking the Stephen King films, the ones that were made into films, just films? Or are you thinking?
Everything. I mean, you I mean, the miniseries. I mean, there you can't forget the miniseries. Some of them are so important, and some of these script work as well. So,
yeah, true.
Anything King related.
There's a lot to break down there, actually. There's quite a lot to break down there.
There is indeed.
All right, we'll save that for another day. That could be a good Halloween one, actually, if we get around to that just in time for Halloween. Who knows?
Who knows indeed?
On to next week. Right, it's my selection time, and it's also my birthday next week on the Saturday. So this the next episode will come out the Monday after my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, you're going too soon. You're going to wish me that in the next episode.
But
it's the Queen's birthday this weekend. We can only think about that. And the timing is brilliant because a certain movie is coming out on the 8th of June, and a certain movie featuring a certain actor to which I am very fond of. Adam Sandler's new movie, Hustle, produced by LeBron James and Adam Sandler, directed by Jeremiah Zager, and written by Taylor Matern and Will Fetters. And I thought, yeah, that's perfect. So that comes out June 8th. So
where can we find this movie?
You can find this movie on the platform to which Adam Sandler has signed a big deal with, which is Netflix. So you don't have to go to the cinema for this one. This will probably be number one on Netflix after Stranger Things. To be fair, the timing of this, bringing this out when Stranger Things just come out, they don't space shit out, do they, on Netflix? They go, Stranger Things that people have been waiting fucking years for, and then they go, bang, a big movie with Adam Sandler, which is obviously going to do well.
Well, they do with Stranger Things, by the way, because aren't they split it into two volumes this last season?
I think the last episode, maybe the last season? I don't know. I don't know.
The last episode, like 2.5 hours long or something like that?
Yeah, 2.5 hours the last episode. And each episode gets longer and longer. I think some episodes are like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, like movie length episodes. I'm going to try and get around to watching it. But
which is what I think Game of Thrones did on their last season, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, and it's got the same sort of hype as Game of Thrones, isn't it? It's got a lot of people love Stranger, like fucking love Stranger. There are people that when it came out watched it all in one go. That's a lot of hours.
That's madness. First season's really good, but I don't think the second and third season lived up to it.
I do agree. I struggled with the second season.
Yeah.
And I struggled with the third season. Yeah, I struggled with it, and I felt like I was forcing myself to watch it at times. But I'm going to give the fourth season a go as well because, you know, we've come this far. The fact that is it over after this? It is, isn't it? It's done after this. They're not making it.
Depends on demand, doesn't it? What the people want.
Nah, if they end it, they end it, don't they? That's it. They can't end it and then be like, I'll bring it back.
They always do that, though. They always bring things back, so I would be surprised.
Yeah. Anyway, Hustle is the movie we're going to watch. And if you don't know what it's about, I'll just tell you what it's about right now. Let me find a good synopsis. That wasn't giving me one. Hustle. After a down-on-his-luck basketball scout discovers an extraordinary player abroad, he brings they bring him back without his team's approval. That's what the movie is about. So, and this is something very close to Adam Sandler's heart. We know that he is big on basketball, isn't he? He's a massive basketball fan, Adam Sandler.
He loves sport, doesn't he? Golf and, yeah, all sorts.
He does, but I think basketball is his number one, isn't it? He's always courtside. He's always wearing basketball shorts. He's always playing basketball everywhere. You know, this is his thing. This is him in his element. So I imagine.
He's always been in his element. I can't think of an Adam Sandler movie where he's not in his element.
True. And producing it with LeBron James as well, that's got to be pretty cool for him. I reckon that might be good. Him starstruck as well.
Which one? LeBron James or Adam Sandler?
Both. Fucking both. Both of them. Because LeBron James, this is part of his Spring Hill company, isn't it? So Spring Hill is his production company, LeBron James. What have they brought out? So they've got a lot. They've got a few things in the work. Obviously, Hustle might probably be their biggest one. They obviously did the new Space Jam,
which was terrible.
Yep, and they did the documentary on Muhammad Ali as well.
Right.
And the TV shows they've done, what have they done? Was the new Space Jam bad? Can't live up to the original, can you? Even the original's a bit crap. It's just...
Yeah, but it's got that nostalgia, isn't it? Like crap.
Yeah. So this could be crap as well, but we're going to give it a go. We're going to be on trend when this episode comes out. And we're going to review it in real time. Why not?
New movie.
Very rare. Very rare territory for us. New.
I don't know. Movie. We've had a few new movies. Batman, Fresh. We have done new movies recently.
You're right. We have done new movies. I don't know where on his Netflix deal. I've lost count with his Netflix deal and Happy Madison Productions. Did they sign a certain number of movies, or is this an additional one on top of it? Because I thought they'd filled the quota of movies.
I think it's just a good partnership that's not worth breaking at the moment.
Probably not, nah. Probably after Uncut Gems. They're probably not.
I don't think that's a Netflix.
Probably all of them.
They're quite popular. I don't think it is. They are very popular, though, Adam Sandler movies. You think of... Well, just... They seem to... People seem to watch them. That seems to... People really do seem to like gravitate towards it. I like to see him do some more stand-up like he did with 100% Fresh.
Yeah, when did that come out, 100% Fresh? That was a while ago, wasn't it?
2018, I think.
2018, yeah. 4 years ago now. Yeah, me too. I think he's not done yet. And this looks like a more serious movie.
This kind of looks to me like in between, sort of in between serious and sort of having fun. This is kind of a bit like Spanglish sort of territory, like that.
Yeah.
Where he's sort of like, he's Adam Sandler, but he's also doing serious acting as well.
He is. And we have to thank Adam Sandler, because Adam Sandler is still our most popular episode to date. And
does that mean we have to re-rank our system again? Where does Hustle fit into that?
Yes, we do. We 100% have to put this in our list. And we have to agree where this goes in the list. Do you still have the list?
I had the list.
Good. I'm glad you had the list, because I'm not sure if I do. We're going to have to... I did that episode hungover as well. I did not feel fresh that day. So I probably can't remember where anything even went. Our best episode, our most listened to episode, was the worst I've ever felt while making an episode.
That's why it's popular. They just love your suffering.
It's so good. Maybe I'll do the next one hungover as well. Fuck it. Why not?
Just what a good omen. You're like Jack Grealish, not putting his socks up. I don't want to break the good spell I have.
It could be a good omen. You never know. We'll have to find out. But that's a good. Okay, so instead of the top five next week, we are going to decide where that goes in the list, and we have to agree on it again. So there could be some reshuffling. And I think any time a new Sandler movie comes out,
just drop down. Surely everything will just drop down.
Yeah, but we have to mutually agree where it goes. Okay, that's what I mean. Like, we have to be like, this is a 12th or this is 15th. I may love this movie. You might fucking hate this movie. And then we're
trouble. I think it's going to break the top 10. Maybe it could crack into the 20 or 30, maybe.
You'll see. But I think that should be tradition. And anytime a new Sandler movie comes out, we have to do that and put it in the list. I think that's worth doing.
Is that the only... I mean, since we've done that list, is that the only Sandler one, or is there another one? I mean...
The last movie he was in, I think, was Hubie Halloween, which we did obviously include.
I thought he did a Hotel Transylvania, did he? No, he did.
Did he?
So he's got two movies out this year. The other one is Spaceman. Which is... sounds good. Paul Dano, Adam Sandler, and Carey Mulligan. I mean, that's quite a good little lineup, that.
Yeah. So we're obviously only including the movies that he starred in. And there's a Murder Mystery 2 coming out as well. Fucking hell. Really? I pulled that one off.
Well, it's Netflix, isn't it?
Spaceman does sound interesting.
Sadler, Addison, that's kind of like their new... That's kind of like the new Sadler and Barrymore, isn't it? He goes through that way, like, Sadler, Barrymore's the strong one, and then Addison is sort of like the... It's not the only next one, isn't it, really? There's no other ones.
She's quite new to the group, isn't she? Her first film was Just Go With It? Was that her
first
one? Just
Go With It, yeah.
Yeah. And they had a really good... They had great chemistry, to be fair. So I'm glad she's enjoyed working with him.
This has been like the third time. Yeah. I think everyone likes to work with Adam Sandler.
It's probably a fucking laugh, isn't it? It's probably class. Must be class. Yeah, okay, we're going to do that. So that's next week. Hustle, re-rank that movie. And then when Spaceman comes out, which is due to come out in... Oh, it doesn't say. This year, apparently. We're going to have to fucking review that as well. So, stay tuned.
There we go.
And Murder Mystery 2. So, yeah, we'll catch you next week for an Adam Sandler special. See you later.